The Sharpshooters, Episode 2, September 3rd, 2005.
The Sharpshooters!
I want to welcome everybody to Episode 2 of The Sharpshooters, the podcast about wrestling and only wrestling. First and foremost, we would like to send our hearts and prayers out to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. It's been like a loss throughout the United States, and you know, it's really one of those bad things that have happened. We would like for everybody to at least donate or try to help out with the American Red Cross in this situation. I mean, we don't want to make this a sad show, but it's a tragedy and something should be done. So if you guys can help, just help out, and you know, that's all we can really say about this. I know it's kind of hard to go back into the whole report after mentioning something so sad, but the show has to go on. Today, you know, it's me, Eric.
Yeah, Marcus, the grand finale.
And
Ryan, the Blue Baron.
We're here today and we're trying to give you guys the best show that we can give for our second episode.
Yeah, and maybe our show can take your mind off the tragedies, what's going on down there in Louisiana.
That's what we can hope, Louisiana. This is pretty much the whole South. Before we even get started into the show, let's give out our contact information. Our email address is thesharpshooters, that's dasharpshooters@gmail.com. The website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Remember, if you guys want to send any suggestions, comments, or anything to us, just send it to those websites and we can get back to you. Well, guess it's time to get into the show right now.
That's right.
So,
the Sharpshooters Week.
The Sharpshooters
in the race. All right.
Like the first story of Mick Foley.
Mick Foley.
Signing back with the WWE.
Well, he hasn't officially signed the contract, but according to WWE.com, they have agreed in principle and the contract could be signed. It could even be signed before we even speak this. What do you guys feel about Mick Foley actually coming back to the WWE?
I feel it's great because he's coming back in the ring and they said he's going to have a story with Eugene and they're going to mold Ryan Arsenal's Eugene into a dirty bad guy.
I also read on the internet that was an idea that he pitched, but no one has said anything. So, I mean, the Eugene character is a hard character to, I guess, transfer over.
Yeah.
But if any character could do it, Cactus Jack or Mick Foley could do it. No Dude Love.
Dude Love needs to make his epic return.
I ain't no Dude Love.
He's coming to bring peace and love back to the ring.
Well, I mean, they could do a gimmick with Dude Love being so frustrated at how they treated him that he didn't. You know what? There's no business for Dude
anyway,
Love.
Anyway, no Dude Love. Anyway, what they also could do with Mick Foley is they could make him a tag wrestler. You know, bring the tag division some respectability. I mean, Rosie and Hurricane or the Legion of Disgrace.
Mick Foley a tag wrestler?
Can't hold what you call it. Huh? Yeah, he's
without
a tag
the Rock.
He doesn't need the Rock.
Well, that was the whole idea, though, that I read on this website. I think it was ProWrestling.com that they were going to team Mick Foley and Eugene up to kind of recreate their Rock and Sock connection.
Yeah,
where Mick Foley played the role of the Rock and Eugene was Mick Foley.
Yeah.
So that could work. I mean, and of course, WWE does need new tag teams because the division is really suffering. Moving on to the next story also, Dusty Rhodes has signed a contract to return to WWE.
Yep, officially signed.
For the creative team. And speculation is that he's going to be working on the SmackDown show. And we all know that the SmackDown show does need some improvement.
They need some new writers because they're really destroying some good characters like the Booker T. He was a very good character for a while, but you know, it's like they don't know what to do with him. Him and Christian, who they both have fighting each other at the moment. They're both really just lingering
around.
The
question is, how much can Dusty Rhodes really do? Because he was with TNA briefly, and true, we didn't really get to watch TNA simply because it was on channels that we really didn't get. We don't know what information he did, but I just know
we saw some of it.
We saw some of it, but not enough of it. I just know Dusty Rhodes does have a track record of being a pretty creative
mind. He's been very creative
in a wrestling mind. So that could really
it can really help the business. It can have an old school guy around. You know, it's always good to have a good old school wrestling mind around.
I'm not gonna take a shot at Stephanie McMahon, but pretty much since she's been the head of the writing team, storylines have become very stale and stagnated, and pretty much you're getting the same recycled storylines with every wrestler. As we reported last week, Chris Jericho requested time off for his leave of absence. And now we're getting word that another wrestler, Big Show, is apparently really upset about the direction of his character and has requested time off.
Let him go!
Simply because he was upset that they just dropped the Masters angle.
Let him go! Let him go. He don't do nothing.
Doesn't do nothing because they don't have a story for him.
So what? What's he going to do?
Well, I don't really see where he could actually do anything, but they shouldn't have dropped the Chris Masters story.
I mean, that was a perfect person to break the Masters. Yeah, because
he couldn't even fit it around him. I mean, instead of putting Shawn Michaels in there, the job or whatever they're going to have Shawn Michaels do against him, they shouldn't
do it. I actually like the Big Show. I feel that there's room in wrestling for the Big Show. I mean,
I said he could be a tag wrestler.
Okay, once again.
I said the Big Show could be a commentator.
What?
That's one of the stupidest things ever.
So he ain't
entertaining
the ring.
We're gonna leave Ryan on this one because he's all
what entertaining on his own. Matches.
Big Show is a nice big guy in the ring, but when he's fighting idiots,
he's fighting like Gene Snitsky.
He's one of those wrestlers that need to have someone that can help carry him in the ring because he has a very limited base of what he can do in the ring because he's so big. I mean, Andre the Giant got over, so the Big Show, of course,
over. And one thing about Andre. But one thing about the Big Show, what he needs is somebody. He needs to be a bad guy. He can't be a good guy.
A bad guy.
A nice giant is never working over for him.
You want him to start smoking?
I want him to start smoking again. Like he did that day. He bought that cigarette, walked in the ring and smoked.
He thought he was cool.
He was cool then. And he also needs maybe a manager that guide him. Like the one time the Undertaker had took him out of the ring and trained him to be a killer. That was a cool Big Show. That's what I like when they have big guys be done, especially like when Kane, he's unstoppable. That's good Kane right there. I mean, that's what I appreciate. That's what they need to do with the Big Show.
The Big Show could be worked on, but I would agree with the Big Show. He needs to take some time off so we can actually kind of forget the Big Show for a while, and then when he comes back,
he can be a killer.
It's more of an epic return.
He can be a killer.
All right, and briefly, I wanted to touch on this. We were at BruiserMania.com.
Yeah,
they gave us a story with an interview about Ahmed Johnson. Woo! For those who remember Ahmed Johnson,
the first black singles champion in the history of WWF.
Apparently he wants to come back to WWE and be on the Raw brand to fight Brock Lesnar. True.
Brock Lesnar's not in WWE,
but hey, Ahmed Johnson wanted to come back. Last time I saw him, he was out of shape. But according to the article, he's been working out. And
the last time I saw him, he was in an MC Hammer movie.
But we don't know what's going on. But go to BruiserMania.com. Yeah. Click on the link to check out the story about Ahmed Johnson.
Let me get my personal opinion.
Okay.
Screw Ahmed Johnson.
Ahmed equals ambulance.
Okay, that's how they feel. Well, I didn't discuss this with the colleagues, but I was also reading the Ross report. Apparently, Steve Austin is getting into wrestling shape. So he might be making an in-ring return. And also, Ross had a conversation with The Rock.
Yeah.
So if we find anything out about those two guys, we'll let you know.
Well, the best thing to do for that is to actually check out the Ross report. Because you should check it out every week. That's probably the best source for WWE news other than the Shop Sheet.
And then also, if you like WWE Bite This, it's pretty funny. They have the wrestling guests on there. I mean, if you can download it, do that too. We're just plugging WWE. Hey, when you like a product,
they can send us a check.
Well, I guess now it's time for
the Raw.
Monday Night Raw, August 29th, 2005. Oh, Monday Night Raw.
Stinker!
Stinks!
Pretty bad. I think we're just going to jump right into it with things that we did not like
just do that.
Yeah, we're going to
do that.
The Cabana. I have nothing against Carlito. I have nothing against Shawn Michaels. But I have a deep-seated hatred for Chris Masters. And I don't understand why WWE is trying so hard to push this guy down a fan's
throat. Because it's garbage. I mean, he should not be in the ring. He's not ready. He's just some guy with muscles,
just
pretty
some
much.
Steroid freak.
He's chiseled.
His body is chiseled out the stone.
I mean, realize this. Batista was pretty much the same weight as Chris Masters, but the catch for Batista was that he was under Triple H and Ric Flair's wing for a good 2 years before he even started speaking on the microphone.
He was on the D-Bon's wing.
But
D-Bon,
he got some religious in him.
But the thing about the Cabana, what really sucked is that they surrounded Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels said, "Man, I gotta stop getting myself in these predicaments." And then he starts to fight Chris Masters and Carlito.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Ric Flair comes out there and help him, which is nice. But guess what this is doing? Setting up the main event for the night.
Yeah.
I was not happy with the segment. Chris Masters does not need to be in the main event for Raw.
Anything.
But
he don't need to be on my camera. It's a deep hate for this guy.
But the Cabana was really awful. Another bad thing about the whole Raw thing was the matches. For some reason, the match selection for Raw, they were mediocre heat matches and velocity matches. And true, when WWE moves to USA, heat and velocity will be no more. But that is no reason to put these garbage matches on the show.
I know. I mean, you don't need to have the Big Show in a handicap match for like the third straight week.
With some guys
that we refuse to even name. Because
they're the unknowns.
And then, to make even worse, after this handicap match, interference by Snitsky.
Nobody cares about
Gene. They fought last week. Are they trying to set up a match at Unforgiven between Snitsky and the Big Show? Direction. Who really wants to see this match?
What is this really about feet? I mean, this is about feet?
It doesn't matter. Then another match that they had. The Divas, Tori and Candice LeChev. First, they come out there and they talking trash about Ashley and calls her out there. And instead of handling business themselves, they call out Victoria.
I don't care. The whole point of this, they don't even need to have junk like this, man. They can do this some other time. I don't care.
They need to rid the women's division. Until Trish come back, and you can actually have the woman's title belt. Because right now, there's still a woman's title belt. Trish is the champion.
They don't miss it. I mean,
we don't know where Trish is at. But the point is, Victoria is there. Ashley was there. They had a fight. It was useless. You didn't speak to Trish, man. What are you talking about? This is going to be a match Mark is really going to talk about a lot. It's Tomko versus Rosie.
All right, man. Tyson Tomko, man. The problem solver ever since he left Christian has been lingering around on Heat. Well, just Heat, not Velocity. But anyway, lingering around on Heat and tagging with the heartthrob, and the heartthrob turned up, but now they gave him a gimmick, and which he's the man with the iron boot. He kicks you, you're done, and then he screams around.
And he pretty much defeated Rosie this week.
Rosie's
been jobbing for the last month or so.
Him and the Hurricane.
And also, let's not forget about Val Venus. I guess Val Venus wasn't available for this job, but who knows?
Anyway. Rosie and Chris Masters was fighting, and they lose. You know, the tag champions lose to every week now, all of a sudden. Well, anyway, let me get to this. His iron boot. Now, I love this gimmick. It has potential to go somewhere if they go in my direction. And this is my direction. His boot has steel in it, people. He had a steel boot, and when he kicks people in the head, knocks him out. And one day, I want one of the referees to check his boots, and they find that they're still in there. I think that'd be a great gimmick in calling him the cheater of wrestling.
I know everybody's like, why are you guys not talking about Matt Hardy and Edge yet? We're going to get there, but right now we're still going through what we do not like. Another segment that we did not like, when they got finished, right before they got to the Matt Hardy and Edge's match, they had a promo of Ric Flair being jumped and beat to a bloody mess.
It's like he got shot in the head.
By allegedly Chris Masters and Carlito Perez.
They never really examined how he got beat, but as Ryan pointed out, instead of calling the ambulance, for some reason, they ran and got shot.
They were all just asleep, like they were looking at him like,
they
what
called
you
the ambulance, dude. No,
get
Shawn Michaels.
He's a doctor.
But anyway, pretty much what this setup was that Shawn Michaels was going to face Carlito.
In a handicap match. I would like to bring up as another thing is this is a different type of handicap match because earlier, you know, the Big Show had to fight on both at the same time. This time, the handicap match when they had to actually tag.
So are you saying they're not being consistent with
the
tag?
No, they weren't consistent, but at least Jerry the King Lawler brought up why they wasn't consistent this week, but because another week earlier when they had John Cena handicap match against Carlito and Jericho, they had the tag, but at least Jerry Lawler explained why this was because this was meant to be a tag match. But due to Flair's injury,
which is
they
a good
turned
thing.
Into a handicap. At least he
but
explained it.
What
this
really
time.
Sucks about this match is that Michaels is a headliner, Flair is a headliner, Carlito is not a headliner, he's the champ.
He's the Intercontinental Champion who ain't defended his title, which they bring up in the week.
And Masters is, well, he's Chris Masters.
He's
this
below
show
the bell.
Should never end at the second hour, this match specifically. It should have been at the end of the first hour.
Yeah, this shouldn't even happen. I mean, honestly, Shawn Michaels carried the match in the handicap match. It was a pretty entertaining match.
It's a pretty good match. It's just that we're like, it shouldn't be the headliner.
It shouldn't be the main event.
Now we're about to move into the things that we kind of like
about
it.
We actually did forget something.
What did we forget?
We forgot about the Kurt Angle and John Cena promo.
No, that's one of the things that we kind of like. I was
giving you was giving that a kind of like? All right,
it was kind of like.
We in a positive segment,
well, okay, since he skipped something else, we're going to go into the Kurt Angle Cena. This is not the positive segment. This is the kind of like segment. Nah. It's nice to see these guys arguing over the belt, but if anybody else but me remember when Triple H was a champ, didn't Triple H start
He led off every show, ended every show, and sometimes was in the middle of every show. He didn't commentate on every show.
I mean, to me,
he was all over the place.
This looks like they're making the WWE title belt secondary compared to
Chris Masters.
Yeah, and like you trying to tell me Chris Masters is championship material? All I gotta say, Triple H, hurry back. We don't know where you at.
No, it's not that he needs to hurry back. It's that we need a new WWE champion. John Cena is not holding his weight. He is not championship material yet. He shouldn't be carrying a title. There should be one person carrying a title right now, and that's Mr. Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle.
Or if it was up to Marcus, it would be Shelton Benjamin. But
always.
I don't know why even holding this. Act like John Cena, they don't have a great match, but they might have a great match. Kurt Angle's going to win. If he don't win, it's bullcrap for me.
Well, anyway, but as everybody remember when John Cena first broke through when he was wearing the green tights, Kurt Angle is with
straight off a manhunt.
Kurt Angle actually made him a star with that match. And I will give John Cena, that was a great match between Kurt Angle and him. But the problem was Kurt Angle led that match and he made John Cena what he is today. They're not giving him no credit, but what can we do? The next subject that we kind of like, and this is simply because they're adding more tag teams to wrestling, is the Garrison Cade and the Murdoch.
I say this is good because they're trying to bring tag team wrestling back.
But then, the bad part, it is Garrison Cade, and we remember how well Garrison Cade
went. Well, he was a pretty good tag wrestler with Jindrak. I mean, that was a good tag team. I liked that crew with him and Maven and Jindrak.
But I'm just asking a question. Aren't they just reinventing the Godwins and all this
and Smoking Guns.
And the Smoking Guns. They don't, just merged them together?
Yeah, but it's cool. I mean, any tag team is good tag team.
Now, where are they from in that?
It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter.
We'll find out when they get announced. We'll find out.
You're from the South. You got the best South.
No, but if you look at all the video games, he always wore cowboy boots, so you know he's a country boy. Garrison Cade.
I don't know.
Look at his boots.
I guess it's time
for us to go into the one thing.
I thought he was fired.
The one thing that we enjoyed about Raw, that was the Matt Hardy and Edge match.
Bloodbath, pain, gore, excitement, adrenaline, high stakes.
Why wouldn't this at the pay-per-view?
Because there was no time. Never-ending story. The power, the aggression, the fight. You can see the hate in their eyes, the aggression. Okay. There hasn't been a match like this in years.
Calm down. Pretty much, the best thing about this match is that they set everything up. First, they had the vaccine promos. Edge is back there.
His man.
Listen to music, Alter Bridge, who made his theme song. It's grooving along. And here comes, was it all?
Josh Grisham, I think.
It was Todd Grisham.
Todd Grisham.
Talking about what's going on. And Edge is talking about how he's grooving and all this good stuff. It was a funny thing that he was just grooving. Then they cut to a backseat with Matt Hardy, where he gets stopped by Lita. And, you know, they're conversating.
Never have this again.
And she unzips it. It's like, wow, look at that. And, you know, everybody's looking. But then they go into the match. And the match is everything that the pay-per-view match should have been if they had time to develop.
This is the feud. This is what we all wanted to see. I mean, there was weapons. There was even a kendo stick, which I don't even know where it came from. There was Lita's interference hitting them with the reappearance of the Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank? Hey, maybe they're going to drop this angle.
When they going to use
was
it?
Was it a no-holds-bar match?
It was a street fight, but they fought in the ring. So
yeah, it was a street fight. It doesn't matter. They went to the last one.
The last one was just a fight.
I had one concern about this match because I saw when Edge was kicking Matt Hardy upside the head. I really thought they was about to end the match again.
They played that well. The dude was going to get knocked out because he's losing. But they made Matt Hardy seem tougher this time. Real bad that he could take the shots.
And then the greatest thing is when they're walking up the ramp, the go for like the finish of the match, Lita's falling right behind him and like not helping. And then to make it even better is that when Matt Hardy throws Edge against the Titantron, all his focus goes to Lita, and it's like it makes you feel more that he's really upset that she cheated on him, and he's about to do the move on her.
But just think, what the hell are you doing up here?
In all wrestling, managers have always fought the thing.
And what I like was the big finishes when they were playing like they were gonna go over,
the false finishes were great, and then finally Matt Hardy did. I don't know what
he just grabbed him like a rock bottom position and then goes. snowball.
That snowball, and then the sparks flew. Great match. Uh-huh. Bad part. A couple of bad things about this match. It was the main event for the first hour.
It should have been the main event for the whole night.
Why was it the main event for the first hour? I do not know. And second, after it happened, they spent too much time showing them carting these guys off.
Nah, they could have showed more. We make it look more
no,
real.
No, but what made it better, it would have been better if it was done in the second hour, then they could just went off. And then everybody could be like, happened? What happened? But instead, we saw what happened and said they could have had a report next week.
Another thing,
it might not be big to anybody, it was big to me. Everybody remember when Goldust got electrocuted? But when they fell through there, you saw little sparks fly. I think it should have been more. Like Goldust.
Simply because they were just falling on the equipment.
Goldust actually hit the transformer.
He went to the breaker. So that makes sense.
And anyway, I'd like to say another thing about this. I don't think Matt Hardy should have been hurt as much as Edge on that fall.
Edge had on his neck.
Edge was head first and Matt Hardy was getting on.
But according to WWE, I was reading that
they suffered minor injuries
and they're okay. I mean, sure, they might ham it up a little bit more when Raw comes, but it's good to know they put on such a hell of a match and they're okay now.
I think they should actually, like, almost miss a week, but, you know, like, show up anyway. One of them should show up and then, like, the other one's in the hospital.
So, technically, this Raw, we would normally grade it an F simply all the bad crap that happened in it, but because of this Matt Hardy match and the okay Cade and Murdoch and the singular angle, it gets a C-. This is a C-.
Yeah, because that match was great, but they had the wrong
time. Many bad matches. Me? The organization. Ryan, we don't need. We're just going with a group average because, you know, we already know you'll get up.
I'm giving it a D.
Okay.
C-. God, because me and Marvin's getting this. We don't need you for this one. So, this is our Raw review.
I like to say that MJF was really busy on this show.
Thanks for stopping because I almost forgot. The most atrocious thing happened on Raw. Really? And it didn't happen on Raw. It happened when Raw went to commercial. We got two TNA commercials. Who in the hell does Spike TV think they are advertising the rival wrestling with the show on?
Mr. Man was very angry over this too. That first he was already angry over the UFC commercials about wrestling being fake, and you know how that goes on. And then he was angry that they got two crappy TNA commercials. I'm not talking the TNA commercials were bad. They weren't the best quality in TNA commercials.
What money, bro?
Okay, I'm actually looking forward to TNA coming to Spike TV. Disappointment is there's no reason for them to advertise why Raw is on the air. You can advertise any other time throughout the show, but not why Raw is on
that
the air.
That just devalues what they're doing right now.
Why don't advertise the UFC? And guess what? I tried to watch the UFC. All I saw was two grown men hugged up against each other. It was awful.
I never liked the UFC. I prefer fake wrestling.
Now, if you look at it, that's not grown man between the legs. Like, it's really a good fight.
Anyway,
let's go.
But pretty much that's our Raw report. We're about to give you. We just purchased WWE Day of Reckoning Part 2 for the GameCube, so we thought we'd give you guys a review.
Yes, we do have a GameCube. We're hoping
the Sharpshooters review.
WWE Day of Reckoning 2 for the GameCube was released this week, and us being the wrestling fans that we are, we went out and bought this game.
We did,
I mean, it is for the GameCube. I mean, the GameCube really doesn't have many great things for it.
Nah. But that's nothing.
Just want to let you guys check out Resident Evil. I mean, this is not a video game show.
Wait a minute.
This is about wrestling. This is about wrestling.
What, you working for Capcom?
I'm sorry, guys. I digress. Retract my statement about Resident Evil for the GameCube. Great game.
Why retract? We could just delete.
No, I'm not deleting. Nah. Anyway, WWE Day of Reckoning Part 2. It was the follow-up to the WWE Day of Reckoning Part 1. We really didn't buy this game, but we rented it briefly from Gamefly, but I don't think we played it long, right?
What, Day of Reckoning 1?
Yeah,
we played it long enough, and it wasn't the greatest game, but we still preferred the, what, the time I think it was SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain, or... Here Comes the Pain.
I don't know.
More Brock Lesnar
cover. Day of Reckoning Part 2, I have to say, the best thing about this game is the graphics. They pushed the GameCube's processor.
I didn't know the GameCube can actually do stuff like this. I thought Resident Evil was good. It's not as good as Resident Evil, although I'm plugging it again.
Yeah. But the graphics are just, you see the facial details, you see six packs. I mean, it's
wait, I like to bring up the six packs. Why does Triple H still have a six pack?
Why
does
six packs?
It doesn't matter. When the game was out, we haven't seen Triple H.
Somebody else had a six pack.
But overall, the graphics are beautiful.
JBL.
The gameplay is pretty fluid. I mean,
it works. It's this typical GameCube wrestling game. It's just throwback to the Nintendo 64 wrestling.
I have a couple of complaints with the game, though.
What's your complaints? I can count.
When you get knocked down, even though they tell you to tap A, and I'm tapping A a lot, I'm still not getting up.
Well, for certain wrestlers, I mean, like Christian getting hit by Kane, it's gonna take a while for him to get up.
But the stamina thing. That gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
The stamina thing?
Yeah, I actually like that.
I like it, but it just takes too long for it to regenerate and dead.
No, actually, because we are so used to playing, is it Here Come the Bane?
It's Raw versus SmackDown.
Okay, Raw, we're so used to it, and it's just a catch style
it's
of
quick.
Wrestling.
It's like, bop, bop,
this
bop.
One, you have to be more strategic about it, and you have to actually be a wrestler and go for wrestle, which I think is a great meter. For the submissions thing, instead of tapping the button in reverse, you have to think what the other person is going to do, which is great.
You counter. Yeah, I like that. It's pretty good.
So that was actually a good thing. Overall, the game was really fun,
It's a solid wrestling game. It's still not better than WWE SmackDown.
For some reason,
Raw.
No one can counter the PlayStation when it comes to wrestling games. But for all you people who don't own a PlayStation to have a GameCube and a wrestling fans, we highly recommend.
Yeah, it's the best wrestling game in the
history
of WWE Dead Reckoning Part 2.
It's the best wrestling game with the current roster.
I'm assuming we would all get... that was an issue that I had with the rosters. There's no reason for Kenzo Suzuki to be in this game.
No, because you could tell who was going to get fired and who wasn't because they was on the fence. And I'm also offended that Muhammad Hussein's in the game. I'm a big Muhammad Hussein fan. I didn't find nothing wrong because we weren't on when he got kicked off. But I didn't find nothing wrong with his character. I thought he was a clever character, a great villain. And, him and DeVar were great. They should be around.
They were great heels. Fire. I mean, we'll put it that way.
They should be true.
I think, unfortunately, they were victims of bad timing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a bad thing. But we're not going to get this because this was a review for Dead Reckoning Part 2. So, overall, I guess we would give it 6 thumbs up since we all like the game.
I'm not going to give it 6 thumbs up. Come on. We got to keep it consistent. We're giving ABC thumbs up and percentage. I'm saying we're giving a percentage for a game. I'm giving it a 7.9.
A 7.9?
Right? I'll give it an
86.2. What the hell is an
86.2? 8.2, right?
Okay.
How's an 86.2?
Yeah, how is that? Man, Nick, go to school.
Go to school. That's an 82.
Go to school.
Anyway, overall, we like the game. It's fun to play. We'll be more enlightened when WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 06 comes out for the PlayStation.
Yeah,
but right now, this is a great carryover. Now we're about to go into the SmackDown report, and then it'll be our closing comments, and you guys can be finished with us.
Closing.
The SmackDown report.
November 1st, 2005, the very last SmackDown on Thursday before they make the move to Friday. And can I say that the show was...
It was
mediocre. Boo. Marcus Moore. It was mediocre. It had...
Stinker.
It whatever.
You
so,
suck!
As we did with the Raw report, we're going to go and start with the things that we didn't like. The very first thing very first...
Can I say something before we say... You guys actually watched SmackDown this week.
Yes, we did.
I'm proud of you.
We watched SmackDown.
I watched it. He watched it. You watched a half of it.
So, we watched SmackDown. Since Ryan really doesn't matter in this one, it doesn't really matter if you watched the whole thing. Well, so, SmackDown started off with Legion of Disaster.
I call him the Legion of Disgrace.
Legion of Disgrace.
Damn Disgrace.
versus Eminem. And,
it's Heyman versus... Mercury.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Tag teams, the tag team champions versus the number one tag team contender, yet they're in singles matches.
Their roster's been doing this for years, but it still frustrates me even more.
Well, they were doing it for years, but they had numerous tag teams already established. Right now, you can count the amount of tag teams that we have on one single hand.
I could say 4.
I don't even care. Well, anyway, it was Hyde Wright versus Joey Mercury. Apparently, Nitro doesn't fight because it's always Mercury in singles matches.
It always seems like it's Mercury, or maybe we're just getting them confused.
No, it's always Mercury.
But why is it that these guys, M&M, never seem to wrestle together as much as they used to? It's like they're always in singles matches, and the other one's at ringside with Melina.
I have no idea. It's just one of those things. They're wasting the tag team division. They really need to improve that. Hopefully, Dusty Rhodes, when he comes in for this creative team, he realizes that the tag team division sucks.
Nobody wants to see Fat Animal.
You know what? Tay Trunks pregnant. I have no issue with that because, once again, it's a tag team. But when you're fighting separately, it makes...
I have a problem with Animal being called himself the Legion of Doom when they're the Legion of Disgrace.
So you're saying Hawk will be rolling over in his grave?
Hawk is past for it. Hawk is doing backflips somehow in his grave. He's like,
nah. I think we gave enough shine to the Legion of Doom as it is.
Legion of Disgrace.
Okay. So let's move on to the next thing we didn't like. The Divas match.
Oh, man.
Christy Hemme versus Stacy Keibler. Remember, they worked out a deal with the network because he interrupted their lingerie match last week. Like I promised you guys, I did go back and watch the old SmackDown. I saw this network guy and all that. I don't like the network guy. He's the cocky guy that no one really likes, but hey, he's there.
I like the network guy.
He's the next GM.
He's the next GM. He's going to fire
Teddy Long.
He's going to fire Teddy Long.
It doesn't matter.
I haven't liked Teddy Long since John Cena gave an F you and he did nothing about it.
Well, anyway, let's get back to
old. We digress.
Can we stay on track, people? Let's stay on track. The Divas match. So, Hemme and Keibler goes out to wrestle. And, well, right before the match starts,
it's Sylvain Grenier!
Sylvain Grenier. Granted, if you do not know who Sylvain Grenier is, he was the tag team partner of Rob Conway.
If you don't do it my way, it's the Conway.
And everybody knows the angle that Conway is going for. He's the pretty boy. Buff Bagwell. Well, apparently, Sylvain was not creative, and he's going for the same thing, except he's some kind of model or something.
I don't know. It's the same angle. And the rule is you can't do the same angle as your ex-tag partner.
Because you might as well stay the tag team.
Well, they could because, you know, he got drafted over there.
But guess what? I wouldn't mind if they were still a tag team.
I know.
True, they weren't my favorite tag teams, but they were a tag team.
And it also seems like the same gimmick Eminem has with the shades. I mean, he's the same. What is his gimmick? Fire him! That's
anyway, he comes out there. He said, "Who wants to look at these divas when you have me to look at?" But he doesn't realize that the majority of men that watch this show are men, so we would prefer to look at the divas than him. But anyway,
here comes Sparky.
Who comes out to confront Sylvain?
Sparky,
hardcore spark plug.
Spark plug.
Oh no, I'm never coming hardcore. He's never gonna be hardcore people. He's wearing purple tights.
He was hardcore for like a year.
No.
But anyway, the
crash was more hardcore.
But does anyone care about Hardcore Holly and Sylvain Grenier having
Velocity.
A beef?
I don't have to watch.
But the worst part about this, like how we complained in the Raw report about the match selections, this wasn't even a match.
They just came out there and it was going back and forth, hardcore pushing them down.
First they gave us the Divas, then we get Sylvain
and Sparky.
And Sparky. Awful segment.
We don't need Coco be with his partner up there.
Okay, as you guys can tell from the Raw report, we're really not going in order. We're going by what we like, what we kind of like, and what we really like. So now we're going to what we kind of like. First of all, they advertised Batista in action tonight on Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, on SmackDown, which I thought was hilarious that he's in action. Don't mention who he's
fighting. Whenever that happens, people, if you've been watching wrestling as long as we have, when they say they in action, usually that's like a weekend show when they say they in action.
Yeah.
That means they ain't fighting nobody and they're going to win.
So, when Simon Dean came out, the first thing that we thought was, this must be Batista's appointment.
So the first thing I thought was, why the hell is he wearing purple sweats?
And he was on the Segway, y'all.
He was on the Segway. I like his Segway, though.
So anyway, he came out there and he was talking about that he's promoting his Simon system, which looks like he needs to start taking, but looks like for Simon's sake, WWE is making him work out a little bit, or at least wrestling his sweatsuits. But anyway, he's saying that Batista was a proud user of his Simon system.
Batista comes out, he uses the system, he likes it.
Well, he denies that he was using it, but he said he'll be happy to try it out. So Batista's playing the babyface role of the champion.
He's playing Popeye right now.
Yeah, so anyway, he tries the system. And unlike wrestlers in the past, when they tried the system, they spit out nasty. Well, Batista's liking it. But
he didn't make him struggle.
Yeah.
You know.
But to Simon's Dean's chagrin, he was like, ooh, I feel stronger. I feel more powerful. And then he was like, I feel more
aggressive.
And so
like you were right.
Yeah,
same effects of steroids.
So It turned into Batista whooping Simon Dean.
Yeah,
but,
and he destroyed them in the ring.
But overall, it was
the moment though of the event though was when at the end and when Batista was getting pissed, he drinks the side sister, puts it over his head like he spots it, and smiles into the camera as the referee counts 1, 2, 3.
So to me, it was actually a good sub, but it was a thing that hey, he's just in action tonight, fighting Simon Dean. There's no real interaction about the belt. JBL had the night off, so you don't hear JBL talking about he wants the belt. Ryan, can you provide us with the JBL comment of how he wants the belt?
What was the comment?
You know how your impersonation with JBL when he wants the belt? Like, it's my time, you know.
It's my time!
Yeah,
it's like, I am a wrestling god!
That would be
we got
JBL.
None of that this week.
That's what JBL would have been saying.
What are we talking about?
Another thing that was a mediocre thing. It was okay, but it was bad. Was Randy Orton and his daddy coming out to the ring?
We didn't need them to talk if there's no Undertaker
around. I mean, it's great that they're talking, but you realize this is a feud between Randy Orton and the Undertaker over...
And Cowboy Bob Orton.
And Cowboy over really nothing. I mean, this is not for the number one contendership.
No, he's a legend. He wants to kill for the legend. But they could be fighting for a title.
They could be fighting for a title, or at least not for the title, but for the number one contendership.
Or something. It seems like there's nothing on the line.
I don't get Randy Orton. You can kill all these legends, but where has it gotten? He got one championship, and that lasted for like a week.
Yeah.
He's getting nowhere.
Wrestling has helped him bond with his father, Ryan.
What I mean,
Cowboy Bob Orton.
Randy Orton. Where does Cowboy Bob Orton come from?
All I gotta say is though that according to rumors on the net though, Randy Orton, it's gonna be Randy Orton or Guerrero against Batista in their future for the title shot. I would think that Randy Orton would be better simply because, okay, I'm about to go into a rave right quick. I'm going to ask you guys not to interrupt right here.
Okay, go ahead. Spill your hate.
If everybody recall, let's go back. We're going to take a trip back in the Wayback Machine. Who put Randy Orton out? Batista. Injured his arm. So, would it have been perfect for when Randy Orton debuted on SmackDown, instead of going after The Undertaker, he would have went after the guy who put him out of commission? For, was it 3 to 4 months?
It was a while.
And then that could have went to a perfect segue for the title shot. But no, instead, they were still milking the JBL Batista thing. I think, to me...
This is so dead. I'm sorry to
interrupt. No, it's okay. You guys know now.
I'm so sick of the JBL Batista. They haven't had one match I like.
But I think it's ludicrous that now... Once Randy Orton finished with this Undertaker thing, if he does get the title shot, they're going to bring up the whole...
Everything you see.
The whole angle of him being with Evolution and the injury.
Once WWE realized that JBL is still Black Jack Bradshaw, it'll be over.
No, but the point is that now we're going to have to seem to believe that he was more fascinated with killing the Undertaker rather than getting the title. Which,
like Kurt Angle fast
and I'm sorry to say, in Evolution, he was taught by Triple H.
This
that
is more SmackDown mumbo jumbo.
So, of course, it would make more sense for Randy Orton to go after the title because the Eddie Guerrero thing wouldn't really make any sense because he still hasn't beat Rey Mysterio.
I think he's going to beat him on Friday Night SmackDown the cage match. Well, which I think is going to be an excellent match. And speaking of that, wait, should we go into the or should we go into the Benoit or should we go into
Christian? No, because that's what we like. So let's
about Christian?
I have the format. We're going to get there.
We got a format?
That. Because guess what? Speaking of Christian, that's next.
All right!
Hot team versus
Kenny!
Was actually a fairly decent match, but the ending was very predictable. Simply because Christian was giving commentary outside the ring. I guess his nose got broken all that from last week's SmackDown, which is another thing I watched when he walked out. Told y'all I was gonna watch
you
it.
You watched it?
I watched it.
I can't believe it.
Anyway, so.
Or you just saw the highlights on SmackDown.
I watched it. So anyway, of course, the match is a decent match. And well, for some reason, Charmel.
Good job.
Miss Black America 1991.
Interrupts and goes to argue with Christian.
First, she grabs the headset.
And who the hell has a poor headset anyway?
Where did that headset come from? So she gets the headset and she starts talking trash to Christian. And well, Christian gets in her face. And it looked like that.
Booker T was going for the Houston Hangover, aka the Harlem Hangover, aka Mr. Rippin' Ray Mundo's move.
I was hoping that Booker T would jump after him.
Well, anyway, while he's climbing the rope for it, he noticed that Christian and Charmel is arguing. He loses attention, and then, well, that's when Mr. Kennedy comes and he does his finishing move. And it was a decent match. This is my first time seeing Kennedy from because I watched it on TiVo last week. But like Marcus said, why is he having beef with these announcers?
I love it!
Really, why?
I love it! This is great! It shows that he cares about the little issues in the WWE that he wants to change. I can relate to that.
Well, anyway, it was just really... It was a good match.
But like I said last week on the Sharp Shoes, it's setting up Booker T to hate Charmel. And maybe even this, Christian and Booker T joining forces somewhere down the line.
Well, I think we're probably going to
get a divorce.
Think about this could be an angle. Charmel joins Christian. I mean,
yeah, but I don't want her to join Christian.
No,
Christian,
we can't have that.
Christian's successful without SmackDown.
No,
SmackDown's cutting them deep.
Just hopefully, I'm going to touch on this in a couple of seconds, but we got to finish with the kind of likes that we have. Another thing was the Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio match. Decent match. Only one problem with the match. First of all, Rey Mysterio's a small guy.
He's a little guy. I saw him bouncing off the middle of the road.
That's not at all.
The problem with the match was, though, it had a clean finish.
I'm tired of Rey Mysterio.
Now, my issue is, if he's fighting Eddie Guerrero in a cage next week, why are you going to have him have a clean finish against Randy Orton?
And Rey Mysterio got
I mean, he just clearly just lost.
I mean, and he was so small, he had to put him on a top rope to do the RKO.
Yeah,
the problem was that you had Cowboy Bob Orton out there. I mean, you could have interfered.
He did interfere.
Yeah, but he didn't interfere to cost him the match.
Well, it was somewhat, but it wasn't that big of an interference.
It was the cleanest finish that you could have in any wrestling match.
Well, man, and it just goes off like that.
It goes off. I'm like, come on.
And now we're backtracking to the positives.
It was three positives. The first positive, Chris Benoit. 25 seconds.
This is like his first gimmick ever.
23 seconds.
Wait, man. So anyway, as last week, if we all know, Benoit started showing us what you can do in 25 seconds. So he made him a cup of coffee in 25 seconds.
I love this.
Well, this week, by being interviewed by Josh Matthews, as anyone can tell, they were in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So Benoit decided that he could go to the bathroom in 25 seconds. Well, he accomplished his goal.
Let me tell you how he went. He went back there. It was one or two. He could be a quick doo-dooer. Anyway, he went back there, he did his business, and 23, I think.
No, it was like 24.
24, he comes back from the other side of the room and says what he said last week, I win again.
Without washing his hands.
The problem was, we heard the toilet flush, but we heard no water.
He's Canadian, so, let him go.
Take a shot at the Canadians.
Hey, they don't wash their hands, bro.
I love the Canadians. Match goes, apparently, another good segment leading to a match. It's Chris Benoit versus Orlando Jordan. OJ, as we like to call it.
No, but I'm about to say something. Best match of the night.
Yes, he's right.
I'm sorry.
He's
right. That was two matches that night.
He's right.
This is the best match of the night. Well, no, I can't do that to Booker T. King Kennedy. Second best match of the night.
Anyway, the match, apparently Benoit broke his record on this match. 23.5 seconds. So now my question is, will we have 23 seconds? Promos?
I don't know what we're going to have with Benoit. Benoit has his first gimmick, I think, ever, when he's not just Mr. Badass Benoit. He's having a fun gimmick.
But like I said, I'm going to touch on this again. Hopefully what they do is that as soon as Christian is finished with Booker T and OJ is finished with Benoit, then you have Christian versus Benoit versus the U.S. title.
Or they can have Booker T, Christian, and Benoit in a triple threat. I think that'd be good.
It doesn't matter. It just has to have something, something going on.
Yeah, something for the U.S. title.
I'm just going to touch on this one because you know how we've been preaching about the whole tag team division has not been that good? There apparently is a new tag team formed. It's William Regal. I've always been a big fan of William Regal. Paul Burchill.
Pretty much,
they have no name, but if anybody remember way back, there was a...
Green Ring Attack Team.
It was called the New Bloods.
They were very good.
And they were very good because they were just snobbish Europeans.
WCW,
And pretty much...
You know that gimmick, you know.
Mr. Burchill is from London, so I think they're trying to recreate that because even Regal bought the old British flag cape out. So we're looking really forward to it. The match was decent, but the more tag teams, the better.
Yeah, they're bringing it back.
And I guess the last thing that... was actually
We got to talk about Eddie Guerrero.
The highlight is that they cut it an old school promo.
Eddie Guerrero
setting up the cage match. Eddie Guerrero was behind the cage, talking about what he gonna do to Eddie, how he
has nothing to lose.
He lost everything, his wife and his son and all that. I mean,
his son.
He lost everything. They walked out on him.
So I mean, it sounds like it's crazy. So hopefully.
He
doesn't
have a son.
Yeah,
he
doesn't
have a son.
Yes, Dominic.
Follow the angles, people. Follow the angles.
I forget the angles, okay? Going to the crazy.
Oh, Dominic.
Anyway, hopefully, next week on Friday, Eddie Guerrero ends his losing streak against Rey Mysterio.
And hopefully, Rey Mysterio loses a couple out with another backwards hat. I don't understand his hat on the mask.
Rey Mysterio belongs in the Cruiserweight division. Eddie Guerrero.
But the Cruiserweight division is injured right now due to Paul London's injuries and everybody else.
Okay, well, give the ball to somebody else.
Nunzio's fighting.
Give it to the Mexican Coons.
You have the Mexican Coons. You have Nunzio.
You
have Scotty.
What is Nunzio?
You have Scotty Tuhati.
Why is he fighting on Velocity?
I mean, you have enough of, the hell to go. Paul London is not that great. I mean, personally.
And they can always do the old Matt Hardy. I lost a little weight, so I'm cruising.
All I gotta say is, Paul London has never been my boy because he was tag team partner with Billy Kidman.
Did they fire Billy Kidman?
I believe they let him go. Yes,
yeah,
yes,
he was fired.
Yes, it's fine.
He was not light heavyweight. He was a steroid.
So anyway,
this
is pretty much our review of SmackDown. So what grade would we give this?
I'll give it a D.
I'll give it a D plus.
Because what's the plus for?
Because it was close to the C-minus of Raw, but it just wasn't that good. Because, I mean, it had enough, but the Benoit.
Wait a minute, did you give it a C-plus or a D-plus?
I gave it a D-plus.
A D-plus?
A D-plus.
A D-plus is the same thing as a C-minus.
Yeah. Not really.
Yes, it is.
We're not going to discuss this.
We're going to discuss the grades here. A C minus and a D plus are the same.
I'm saying it's a D. No, it's not. Because it's C minus D plus.
This show's about wrestling, only about wrestling.
Shut your pie hole. We are discussing the grading system.
No more boo boo from the Mary.
Damn it.
Yeah. Anyway. C plus and D minus, same thing.
D plus, you can go D minus. Anywhere we're split, point blank, it's a D. But I say it's a D plus.
I get a whole week of all
the
F.
The whole week in wrestling entertainment pretty much was a crappy C. It's a C because if you average the C minus,
yeah, with the
D
some
plus,
news,
it's a C.
And we give it a good grade.
It's a C.
And when did we become teachers?
It was an average week in wrestling.
When did we become about school? We got let's give him an A on his record. We lost. We belong.
Okay, that's a SmackDown review. We're about to just go into the closing segment, and we'll see you guys then. We have done the Raw report.
Yes.
We have gave you guys a review of a product. We have done the SmackDown review. Now, do you guys have any closing statements? I'll start with you, Marcus.
I'll start one. Due to the lack of fan participation, the promo segment that I created is shattered. But if you do still want to give a promo, we would love to hear it. But it's shattered and defunct like the tag team division. So, don't worry about trying to hear promos this week because nobody apparently wants to do it. I'm proud to say this was an idea well failed.
Is that it, Marcus?
I think that's all I have to say.
Okay. Ryan, do you have anything to say?
What was worse? The Legion of Doom now? The Legion of Disgrace? Or the Legion of Doom 2000.
The Legion of Disgrace is
serious. Is that all you guys, that's all you have to say?
They're both bad.
That should be the poll question. They should put a poll question.
The Legion of Disgrace.
Don't try to give me more work on the website.
But it's Sunny, actually. Sunny was in
it. It's Sunny, man. Dark times.
Well, anyways, you guys can see, we really have nothing else to really talk about this show. So, I guess, before I close out, I'm just going to give you guys the contact information once again. Please email us at thesharpshooters. That's thesharpshooters@gmail.com. And remember, our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. We really would appreciate some comments. Even if you guys are listening to the show, just please send something saying that we're listening.
Just go to an email and say, just put like a Y.
Just send us something. We really
or no.
Yeah, I mean, no. We need suggestions. We need more segments. If you guys want us to review something, we'll try to review it. We'll do our best to make you guys happy.
We're banging. No, it's the end of time to be banging for viewers, listeners. We're pathetic.
And we have numerous ways to subscribe to us. We're all located in the iTunes Music Store. You know, on our website, there's a button that click. We're also located on Podnova. Yeah, on Podnova. I'm trying to get us registered in Podcast Alley so you people can vote for us. And also, with this episode, we should be registered in Odeo. It's numerous ways that you guys can subscribe to us. Like I said, please subscribe. Please listen. We're not asking for no money.
Just comment.
We just want to hear what you people think about our show. Should we continue to do this show? Because we're having fun doing it. Even if you guys said no, we're probably going to still do it.
We do this junk anyway.
I mean, because we have nothing else to do. But we just want to thank everybody to listen. Remember, our prayers and our thoughts go out to the people who suffer from Hurricane Katrina. Please donate anything that you can to help these people out. I mean, these people lost homes. Houses, jobs, they lost their whole city.
Just turn to CNN or somewhere. I mean, go on the internet, read blogs.
Just do what you gotta
just
do.
Read and stuff.
Even if you don't have money to send, maybe send some food, some clothes, just any. Help these people out. Because if you were in the same situation, you wanna be helped out too. So, this is Eric.
This is Marcus the Gun Finale.
Ryan the Boo Boo Baron.
We're the Sharpshooters, and we're out for the day. See you guys next week.
Episode 3.
Hope that tap it out.
The sequel. Bye.